Those of you who were here last week will remember that we were looking at the section in the Five Things to Pray series that was thinking about praying for a church near us, thinking about how we work alongside and other churches in our area. And this morning we're going to continue on that same thing, looking at taking two sections of the book. So over the next week, I'm going to invite you to pray for two sections in this book, praying for mission partners and praying for churches that are far away. And then next week, next Sunday, Philip will be concluding the series as we think about praying for the unreached. So you can see all of those weeks actually take a similar kind of theme together as a heart of working in partnership, in mission, and together and sharing together. And this morning, I'm not going to focus on either of the two suggested texts that are in the book. I'm going to leave that to you as you pray for those particular areas during the course of this week. But what I want to think about this morning is the question, why? Why? Why should we be supporting mission partners? Why should we pray for a church on the other side of the world? Why should we do it? And I'm sure you would agree with me in observing that in the world that we live in at the moment, more and more the dominant view is we need to look after ourselves. We need to look after our own interests. We need to put up barriers to keep people out. We don't want them to have what we have, do we? We want people to learn to stand on their own two feet. We should stop sending aid to developing countries. Let them make their own way. Maybe you've heard that view expressed sometime. Always surprises me, that one, because it slightly misses the point that often those developing countries are in poverty because of the way that other nations, including Britain, have exploited them over the years. Saw this cartoon during the week. It says, "Dear God, please look after the poor and unfortunate, because I'm certainly not going to. And all those in lands torn by war and pestilence, make them stay put. And let me hold on to all my stuff forever and ever. Amen." I love, it says the last slide, I love the way that God answers prayers. More and more around us, we see that worldview. Look after your own interests. Put yourself first. So should the church, should the followers of Jesus take that same approach? Well, let's read from the scriptures, and I invite you, if you've got a Bible with you, to open it at Acts chapter 13. We're going to look at the first three verses of Acts chapter 13. The words will also be on the screen. So Acts chapter 13, verses 1 to 3. It says, "Now, in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.' So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off." So what does this little passage that we've looked at, what does this tell us? Well, first of all, it tells us that there was a fellowship of Christians, of followers of Jesus, established in the city of Antioch. A busy city, a bustling city, a trade route, a military significant place. There, the heart of it was a community of believers, of brothers and sisters in Christ. And it would seem from that reading that the church in Antioch has an abundance of resources. They had prophets and teachers. Five of them are named. We're told there in the passage, aren't they? There's Barnabas, there's Simeon, Lucius, Manon, and Saul. Gifted individuals from a variety of backgrounds and a wealth of experiences. They were prophesying, they were teaching. There was plenty for them to do in this busy city. Lots of people in travelling in and travelling out, a lot of trade going on. People who lived there. So we learn that about this church from this little passage here. We also learn quite a significant thing, that this church in Antioch was a church that made their ongoing relationship with God a priority. It says they worshipped, they fasted, they prayed together. That was very much at the heart of what they were, giving thanks to God, waiting upon God in prayer and worship. And that commitment to fasting together. And it was while they were worshipping and praying and fasting that the Holy Spirit spoke to them. And what did the Spirit say to them? Did the Holy Spirit say to this gathered community of believers, did the Holy Spirit say, you know, I'm going to keep on blessing you with an abundance of resources so that you can be the biggest church in town? Did the Holy Spirit say, I'm going to keep on adding to the number of teachers and prophets here in this place? No, not at all. The Holy Spirit challenges this church to give something away. To give someone away. Well, actually, to give two someones away. It says, while they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Barnabas and Saul. Well, we know a bit about them, don't we? Saul, also known as Paul. Saul, who had that dramatic conversion from being a persecutor of Christians to becoming someone who all he wanted to do was to tell people about Jesus and the life that was found in him. And what an asset he was to the church. What an asset he was to the church in Antioch. What a great teacher. What a great preacher. So there was Saul, and then there was Barnabas. And Barnabas, what do we know about him? Well, we know that everyone who met Barnabas was encouraged by him. He was generous. He was a great support. His heart, too, burned with a passion to share Jesus. You know, he was someone who was ready to give up personal wealth in that work. He was a great asset to the church in Antioch. Now the Holy Spirit was saying to this church, release these two. Release them because I have work for them. How would we have reacted to that? Would we have said, but surely they can stay here, Lord. How are we going to manage without them? Perhaps we would have drawn up a list of other people that we would send instead. other people that we might think would be more suitable, or even other people that we think might be quite good to get them out of the way. Surely, Lord, you can send someone else. How are we going to manage? We've got this work. This is a busy city. There's much to do here in Antioch. The wonderful thing is that with this church in Antioch, there is no hint of them holding back. They recognize God's call on the life of Barnabas and Saul. And they recognize that this is not actually a decision for them to make. This is not them deciding to send Barnabas and Saul. This is their response in releasing these two in God's service. You know, regardless of how useful they were to the church in Antioch, these brothers and sisters faithfully obeyed. They gave up their self-interest, they prayed, they fasted. And without any hint of reservation, they placed their hands on Saul and Barnabas. They affirmed their call from God, and they sent them on their way. And so began the first recorded missionary journey of Saul and Barnabas. This first missionary journey from their home church in Antioch into neighboring provinces around the Mediterranean area and beyond. And because this church in Antioch continued, they continued to affirm and to support God's call on these two missionaries, then because of that, the good news of Jesus was shared to thousands of people in distant lands, places that some of those church members would never see. They had been influential in supporting Saul and Barnabas in going there and in serving God there. It's interesting to think, isn't it, that if that church in Antioch had said, no, you're staying here, then our Bibles would have been a lot shorter. We would have had no Galatians or Ephesians or Philippians or Corinthians or Romans. It would have been a sad day if the church in Antioch had said, no, we can't send Saul or Barnabas. We've got other priorities here on our doorstep. But they didn't. Praise God, they were ready and willing to and open to the Spirit's leading. They knew that they had been abundantly blessed, and they were ready then to share those resources. They didn't hesitate. They didn't need convincing. They knew what was right. They had faith that the Lord would continue to provide for their needs, as indeed they provided for the needs of others. And of course, really none of that should be a surprise to us, because God calls us together as his church so that we can go into the world to share the good news of Jesus. Reminded, aren't we, of those words that towards the end of Matthew's gospel, Jesus saying, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. What Jesus said to his followers. And his command is clear, that the primary goal, the primary objective of his followers is to share the good news of Jesus, to share the gospel with everyone in every place. This is God's work through us and in us. Jesus didn't say to them, I'm sending you away, just go and get on with it. He said, I am with you. I am with you to the very end of the age. As you go in my name, so I am with you. This is God's work through us. You know, sometimes we get a bit mixed up, don't we? And we start to think about it's our mission for God. And then the danger of that is that it then becomes about our efforts and our achievements. We start to say things, look how successful our mission has been. I remember once working for a company and every month in that company, the sales team would come to the head office where I was working, and they would come for their end of month sales figures. And these salesmen traveled from all over the country to come to this one meeting every month where they would present their sales figures to the rest of the sales team and to the board that were there. And you could see by their faces what kind of month it had been for them. Those who had had a good month in sales went in happy and came out happy, smiling. Those who had had a not so good week in sales figures, you could see it on their faces. You see, because in that meeting, when they stood there in front of the sales director and the rest of the team, the only thing that mattered to that board was how much that salesman had sold in the course of the month. They were judged on that, and judged on that alone. How successful have you been with your sales figures? I wonder sometimes if we allow that kind of thinking to drift into the church. But the truth is that as the church, we're not called to be successful. We're called to be obedient. We're called to be and to do what God calls us to be and what God calls us to do. Not about us. It's about God's work in us and through us. Some of you may have heard of Christopher Wright. Chris Wright used to work alongside John Stott, a great writer on mission. This is a quote from one of his books that helps us to get things in the right perspective. Chris Wright said this: "It is not so much the case that God has a mission for his church in the world, as that God has a church for his mission in the world. Mission was not made for the church. The church was made for mission. God does not have a mission for his church. God has a church for his mission. That's what we're called to be as the church. Allowing God to work in us and through us. The difficulty is that often our thinking puts us at the center. It's about what we can do for God. We become the starting point then. And the danger is when we become the starting point for mission, then we will often relegate mission to a certain corner of our lives or even our life as a church together. And the danger is that we start to think that actually the church is about serving my needs rather than the church being about serving God's mission in the world. But when we see the mission as God's, then that's turned upside down, because it doesn't begin with ourselves, it begins with God. We don't have a mission, God has a mission. And God has a church for his mission, and that's us. All of us sharing in that together. Not certain people sent off to do certain things and that's mission. It's not. It's for all of us at all times, in all places. God's mission is to reconcile the world to himself through Jesus. His words in 2 Corinthians remind us of that. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Paul there is talking about us all sharing in that same mission of God, to speak and to share his love, to speak of that reconciliation that only he can bring about through faith in Jesus Christ. God has a mission for his church. We don't have a mission for God. We exist to serve and to be an expression of God's mission, to be agents of change in the world. Our purpose is not to see some of or part of what we do as mission, but to see everything, all that we are, our very being, as an expression of God's mission, of God's love for the world. And when we fail to do that, when we fail to participate in God's mission in the world, then we fail to be church. The quote from two writers on mission, Michael Frost and Alan Hirsch, says, mission is not merely an activity of the church. It is the very heartbeat and work of God. It is the very being of God. It is in the very being of God that the basis for the missionary enterprise is found. God is a sending God with a desire to see humankind and creation reconciled, redeemed, and healed. The missional church, then, is a sent church. It is a going church, a movement of God through his people, sent to bring healing to a broken world. That's what we are as church. Sent by God, called by God to bring healing to a broken world as we point people to him and his love for us. So, when we have that opportunity to pray for our mission partners or to give practical or financial support, we're called not to see this as a bolt-on extra, take it or leave it, maybe leave it to someone else, but is actually at the heart of what we are, allowing God's mission, that heartbeat of God, to be at the center of all that we are. We do not send people to do mission. The church is sent. We are sent. You and me, each one of us. And so it's important that we keep on praying for our mission partners, those that we support through BMS World Mission. We get regular updates from the Sherrods and from Irene West. We get regular updates from Benin in Uganda. Philip makes sure that we're provided with the resources to pray. And so I'd encourage you, take those things, read them, whether you receive them online or the printed versions that are available here in the church. keep on praying, keep on supporting, keep on thinking, keep on reading about the work that's going on in other places. Again, another resource I commend to you, the Engage magazine that comes out to us. We have a number of copies in the church, again from BMS World Mission. Stories of things going on around the world. Some things that you will know about, some things that you might not know about. But we can be informed in praying for these things. This is not someone else's church. This is us serving in the world around us. Each one of us, we're all called to play our part. Being church doesn't allow us the option of leaving mission to somebody else. If you're a follower of Jesus, then he calls you to go in his name. Maybe not to the other side of the world. Someone once said, you can be a missionary without leaving your postcode area. That's a good thing to remember, isn't it? It's not someone going somewhere else. But you are called to go and to be his church. Amongst your family, amongst your friends, in your workplace, in the bowls club, in the social club, wherever you go. We're reminded of those words in the Bible, aren't we? That for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. For God so loved the world in its entirety. And that includes the bit of the world where you live. It includes the bit of the world where you're sitting right at the moment. It includes you, because God loves you. And that's often where mission begins, in that acknowledgement of the love that God has for you. And if you accept that, if you receive that, if you acknowledge that, then God sends you out to share that with others. May we respond to his call upon our lives. May we acknowledge that that call includes each one of us. And may each one of us know the love that God has for us and be ready to share that love with others. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you for your love for the world. And we thank you, Lord God, that you are a sending God, a missional God, that you want everyone in every place to know who you are and the depth of your love for them. Lord, help us to hear of that love, and to acknowledge it, to receive it. And then as we do that, you call us to go out and share it with others. Lord, forgive us when we've made mission about somebody else or some other place. Help us to see your work is through your church. It's not our work for you. It's your work through us. And that is for all people and all places. Lord, we do thank you. We thank you for those who go to other places. We thank you for our mission partners, those who have given up their homes here in the UK and those who have been called to serve you out of their own homes in Uganda, Lord. We thank you for them. And we ask your blessing on them and that you would equip them, Lord. But help us always to be mindful that they are part of the same church that we are part of. And we share in that work with them. Lord, help us to hear your call to go to the places where you call us to go. Help us in this week as we meet with our friends, with our family, as we go to work, as we go to the shops, wherever we might go, Lord. May we know that you send us into those places to share the wonderful news of your love, your redeeming love through Christ. Lord, thank you for that call that you have for each one of us. And thank you for that wonderful truth that you go with us as we go. And you give us the words to say and the actions to serve. Lord, we just thank you that you are.